You already own Bruford's book, Evan. You like it. Now you need to know exactly what it does and what it gives you for your paper. That is a different question from asking what Bildung means in general. So here is the frame, WHH. Bruford's The German Tradition of Self-Cultivation, Bildung from Humboldt to Thomas Mann, was published by Cambridge University Press in 1975. It is a 290-page study of German intellectual and literary history. Not a philosophical treatise, not a manifesto. A careful, historically minded account of how one powerful ideal moved through two centuries of German thought and literature, gathering force, accumulating tensions, and finally arriving at a point of crisis. That distinction matters enormously for how you cite it. Bruford's method is intellectual and literary history. He follows an ideal through the writings of philosophers, theologians, poets, and novelists, rather than constructing a single systematic definition. That means his book is evidence-rich but interpretively layered. When Bruford describes what Humboldt believed, he is giving you his reading of Humboldt, not Humboldt's own argument in its full philosophical weight. Keep that distinction active. For your paper, Bruford is most useful as a tradition mapper and historical interpreter. He can tell you how the ideal developed, what pressures it faced, and where it broke down. He cannot replace Humboldt as your normative source, or Gadamer as your hermeneutic engine. Think of Bruford as the historian who draws the map. The other thinkers are the terrain. Now, the key idea at the center of Bruford's account. Around 1800, Bildung crystallized into something specific. It meant self-cultivation, the gradual formation of the whole person through culture, reflection, and the development of human capacities, not schooling, not credential earning. Formation of personality. Humboldt, Goethe, and Schiller form the classical humanist constellation at the heart of this tradition. Humboldt linked self-cultivation to freedom. He argued that individuals need a diversity of situations and relationships to develop their capacities fully. Freedom for Humboldt is not merely legal non-interference. Social and political conditions must provide real opportunities for development. That is a demanding claim. It means Bildung is never purely private. Schiller's contribution is equally important. His Letters on the Aesthetic Education of Man, published in 1795, treat aesthetic experience as a mediating force between the person's rational demand for form and the person's embodied, affective condition. Aesthetic education is not decoration. It is the path toward integrated, autonomous personhood. Then there is Goethe. Wilhelm Meister's Apprenticeship, also published in the mid-1790s, became the literary model of formation. Think of Wilhelm's trajectory, encounters, disappointments, changing roles, practical experience. His development is neither a simple inward unfolding nor a linear march toward perfection. That ambiguity is the point. Bruford reads Wilhelm Meister as a literary enactment of formation, not as a philosophical program. Do not collapse Goethe's artistic aims into a doctrine. Here is where Bruford becomes critically valuable, rather than merely descriptive. The classical ideal claimed universal scope. Bildung was supposed to cultivate what is most fully human, not what is merely German or merely bourgeois, but the tradition contains a persistent tension. The people who actually practiced Bildung were educated, economically comfortable, and socially positioned to do so. That means Bildung can support emancipatory ideals of freedom and individuality while simultaneously functioning as a marker of bourgeois cultural distinction and social legitimacy. The same ideal that promises universal human development also becomes a language of class privilege. Bruford tracks this double edge without resolving it. That is precisely what makes him useful for a paper that takes the tensions seriously. As the 19th century advances, the classical ideal faces mounting pressure. Specialization, modern social differentiation, economic change, and the difficulty of integrating competing spheres of life all strain the vision of harmonious all-round development. The gap between cultivated inwardness and public action widens. Vocation narrows what Bildung was supposed to keep broad. Historical arguments in this context are best understood as a history of transformation and increasing strain. The ideal remains powerful, but its relation to society, politics, and modernity becomes progressively more problematic. A notable case is the work of a prominent author. His work both preserves the language of inward cultivation and exposes its detachment from political responsibility. One of his notable writings defended cultural inwardness against political rationalism. Later works place personal development inside social and historical crisis. Cultivated inwardness becomes self-conscious, ironic, and historically unstable. The takeaway for your paper is this: use Bruford in three specific ways. First, for historical definition. He gives you a grounded account of what Bildung meant as a tradition of self-cultivation, not just a dictionary entry. Second, for tension analysis. The gaps between universality and class, inward cultivation and public action, harmony and specialization are documented in his history. Third, for critical pressure. Bruford shows that the tradition carries exclusions and evasions alongside its genuine humanistic promise. Now, your seven-step mechanism, encounter through transformed judgment, fits within Bruford's frame but also gets complicated by it. Bruford reminds you that formation depends on institutions, class relations, and historically available models. The mechanism describes the inner movement. Bruford describes the outer conditions that make or break it. Keep Humboldt as your normative ideal. Keep Gadamer as your hermeneutic engine. Let Bruford be your critical historian. Here is your source role map. Bruford, tradition mapper, historical interpreter, critical diagnostician of tensions. Humboldt, normative ideal of free, many-sided development. Gadamer, hermeneutic engine explaining self-education through dialogue and fusion of horizons. Goethe, literary model of formation, not philosophical doctrine. Schiller, aesthetic mediation between form and embodied life. Thomas Mann, crisis point where cultivated inwardness becomes ironic and politically evasive. Now, three paper-ready formulations you can adapt. 1. Bruford traces Bildung as a tradition of self-cultivation running from the classical humanist ideal of Humboldt and Goethe, through the 19th century pressures of specialization and bourgeois class formation to its crisis in Thomas Mann's fiction. 2. Bruford's account is intellectual and literary history, not philosophical argument. It supplies historical grounding and critical pressure rather than normative definition. 3. The tradition Bruford maps preserves the humanistic promise of formation while making visible the exclusions, class assumptions, and political evasions that accompany it. Evan, those three formulations can anchor your definition section, your methodology note on sources, and your critique section respectively. Mann is worth pausing on, Evan, because he is not simply another literary example. He is the point where the tradition turns on itself. Think of the Magic Mountain. Hans Castorp spends years in a sanatorium, surrounded by ideas, conversations, and competing worldviews. He is cultivated, he is reflective, and yet he is also paralyzed. Formation has become a kind of suspension, rather than a preparation for action. That is a crisis in novelistic form. The cultivated self has grown so inward, so self-aware, that engagement with the political world feels like a betrayal of refinement. Mann's reflections on non-political thought made this explicit. He defended German cultural inwardness against Western political rationalism. Later he recanted, but the recantation itself proves the point. The tradition had to be broken open from outside before it could reconnect with public responsibility. Before moving to your paper strategy, one more historical note worth keeping. Herder had already developed an ideal of autonomous individual development, in which diverse capacities form a harmonious whole, before Humboldt and Schiller systematized related themes. That means the tradition Bruford maps is older and more layered than the Humboldt-Goethe-Schiller triad alone. Novalis pushed further still. He identified philosophical activity with an ongoing process of self-formation through encounter with others, rather than with the acquisition of a finished cultural identity. That is a striking anticipation of your mechanism's logic. Formation is never complete. It is relational and open-ended. Bruford's intellectual history holds these figures in view without reducing them to a single line. That layered quality is part of what makes him useful. He shows you the tradition's width, not just its peak. Now, a word on the Bildungsroman that matters for your paper. The genre does not promise uncomplicated success. Wilhelm Meister abandons his theatrical ambitions. His formation is real but also modest and socially compromised. That is not a failure of the novel. It is the novel's honesty about what formation actually looks like inside social constraints. The Bildungsroman connects personal development with social placement. The protagonist's formation involves discovering how individual aspiration can or cannot be reconciled with a shared social world. For your paper, this means Goethe's novel is not evidence that Bildung works smoothly. It is evidence that formation is always negotiated, always partial, always shaped by what the world makes available. Bruford reads that negotiation as the literary record of the tradition's tensions. Cite him for that, not for a triumphant story. Here is the methodological point you need to hold clearly. Bruford's book is intellectual and literary history. It is not a philosophical argument. He does not prove that Bildung is the correct account of human formation. He shows how a tradition developed, what pressures it faced, and where it strained. That distinction matters for citation. When you write, for example, that Bruford documents the tension between universal human development and bourgeois class distinction, you are using him correctly. When you imply that Bruford establishes building as a normative ideal, you are overclaiming. The normative work belongs to Humboldt. The hermeneutic work belongs to Gadamer. Bruford supplies the historical map and the critical pressure. Keep those roles distinct and your paper will be stronger for it. Your seven-step mechanism, encounter through transformed judgment, describes the inner movement of formation. Bruford complicates it productively. He reminds you that formation does not happen in a vacuum. It depends on institutions, class relations, politically available models, and historically specific conditions. Think of it this way. Your mechanism explains how a person moves from encounter to transformed judgment. Bruford explains why some people never get the encounter in the first place, or why the institutions that should support practice instead narrow it into vocation. That is not a refutation of your mechanism. It is the social and historical frame that makes the mechanism honest rather than idealist. Use Bruford in your critique section to show that you know the mechanism's conditions of possibility are not equally distributed. The key idea is this. Each source in your paper has a job. Bruford is your tradition mapper and critical diagnostician. Humboldt is your normative ideal of free, many-sided development. Gadamer is your hermeneutic engine. Goethe is your literary model, not your doctrine. Schiller is your account of aesthetic mediation. Thomas Mann is your crisis point. Now, three formulations you can adapt. 1. Bruford traces building as a tradition of self-cultivation from the classical humanist ideal through 19th-century pressures of specialization and bourgeois formation to its crisis in Thomas Mann. 2. Bruford's account is intellectual and literary history. It supplies historical grounding and critical pressure, rather than normative definition. 3. The tradition Bruford maps preserves the humanistic promise of formation, while making visible the exclusions and political evasions that accompany it. The takeaway, Evan, is precise. Bruford's value is not that he tells you what building should be. His value is that he shows you what it became, what it cost, and where it broke. That is exactly the kind of critical historical grounding a paper on formation needs. The humanistic promise is real. Humboldt's ideal of free, many-sided development is worth defending. But Bruford ensures you defend it with open eyes, aware of the class assumptions, the political evasions, and the ironic self-consciousness that the tradition accumulated by the time it reached Thomas Mann. That combination, normative aspiration held alongside historical critique, is what separates a serious paper on building from a celebration of it. Now, the source role map. Think of your paper as a building with distinct load-bearing walls. Each source holds up a different section. Confuse the walls and the structure collapses. Bruford is your tradition mapper and critical diagnostician. He tells you what the tradition became, where it strained, and what it cost. That is his job, nothing more. Humboldt is your normative ideal. He tells you what Bildung should be. Free, many-sided development of individual capacities through genuine engagement with the world. When you argue for formation as a positive human possibility, Humboldt is your anchor. Gadamer is your hermeneutic engine. He explains how understanding actually works, how dialogue, openness, and historically affected consciousness make self-education possible. The mechanism lives in Gadamer. Keep those two roles clean. Goethe is your literary model, not your doctrine. Wilhelm Meister shows formation in motion, partial and negotiated, not triumphant. Schiller is your account of aesthetic mediation, the bridge between embodied life and rational form. Thomas Mann is your crisis point. He shows what happens when cultivated inwardness loses its connection to public responsibility. Each figure has one job, assign it clearly, and cite accordingly. Here are three formulations you can adapt directly. First, Bruford traces Bildung as a tradition of self-cultivation from the classical humanist ideal through 19th-century pressures of specialization and bourgeois formation to its crisis in Thomas Mann. Second, Bruford's account is intellectual and literary history. It supplies historical grounding and critical pressure, rather than normative definition. Third, the tradition Bruford maps preserves the humanistic promise of formation, while making visible the exclusions and political evasions that accompany it. Your seven-step mechanism describes the inner movement of formation: encounter, attention, interpretation, struggle, practice, internalization, transformed judgment. Bruford complicates it productively. For example, think of the 19th-century student who encounters great literature. but whose institution channels every capacity into a narrow vocation. The encounter happens, the attention is real, but the social conditions foreclose the broader formation your mechanism promises. That is not a refutation. It is the honest frame. Use Bruford in your critique section to show that the mechanism's conditions of possibility are not equally distributed. The key idea is this. Bruford can be used critically rather than devotionally. He preserves the humanistic promise while making visible the class assumptions, the political evasions, and the ironic self-consciousness the tradition accumulated. That is precisely what a serious paper needs. You are not celebrating Bildung, you are defending it with open eyes. Bruford gives you the evidence for that honesty. Humboldt gives you the aspiration worth defending. The takeaway, Evan, is precise. Bruford's value is not that he tells you what Bildung should be. His value is that he shows you what it became, what it cost, and where it broke. That combination, normative aspiration held alongside historical critique, is what separates a serious paper on Bildung from a celebration of it. Bruford was published in 1975. He wrote as a humanist scholar who still believed the tradition mattered. That belief and his unflinching account of its failures are both present in the book. That is why you own it, Evan, and that is why it belongs in your paper. So where does that leave Thomas Mann? Mann is not simply another example of cultivated personality. He is the point where the tradition becomes self-aware of its own contradictions. His work defended German inward culture against Western political rationalism. That defense was not accidental. It was the logical endpoint of a tradition that had long privileged inward cultivation over civic engagement. Mann later revised that position. But the revision itself is revealing. It shows that the language of Bildung could be turned toward political withdrawal, and then, with effort, turned back. Bruford reads Mann as a crisis point, not a villain. The tradition survives in Mann's fiction, but it survives ironically, self-consciously, aware of its own historical weight. Think of Hans Castorp in The Magic Mountain. He is a young engineer who arrives at a Swiss sanatorium and spends years in conversation with competing worldviews. That is formation, encounter, attention, interpretation, struggle. But the social frame is a sealed institution cut off from ordinary life. The formation is real and also suspended. It does not issue in transformed judgment that changes the world. It issues in irony. That is Bruford's point about man. The building ideal is present, the mechanism runs, but the conditions foreclose the kind of public action the classical ideal promised. For your paper, Evan, man is your evidence that the tradition knows its own limits. Now, a methodological reminder that matters for citation. Bruford is not Humboldt. He is not Goethe. He is the historian reading them. That distinction is critical. When you cite Bruford on Humboldt's ideal of free development, you are citing Bruford's interpretation of Humboldt, not Humboldt's own text. Keep those layers clean. Bruford's value is precisely that he gives you the tradition as a whole, the arc from classical ideal to bourgeois strain to Mannian crisis. No single primary thinker gives you that arc. Bruford does. That is why he belongs in your paper as a tradition mapper, not as a normative authority. The key idea is this. Each source has one job. Bruford maps the tradition and diagnoses its tensions. Humboldt anchors the normative ideal of free, many-sided development. Gadamer drives the hermeneutic mechanism, explaining how dialogue and historically affected understanding make self-education possible. Goethe provides the literary model, formation in motion, partial and negotiated. Schiller supplies aesthetic mediation between embodied life and rational form. Thomas Mann is your crisis point. The moment cultivated inwardness loses its connection to public responsibility. Assign each figure one role. Cite accordingly. Do not let any single source perform every task. Three formulations you can adapt directly. First, Bruford traces Bildung as a tradition of self-cultivation from the classical humanist ideal through 19th century pressures of specialization and bourgeois formation to its crisis in Thomas Mann. Second, Bruford's account is intellectual and literary history, published by Cambridge University Press in 1975. It supplies historical grounding and critical pressure, rather than normative definition. Third, the tradition Bruford maps preserves the humanistic promise of formation while making visible the exclusions, class assumptions, and political evasions that accompany it. Each formulation is citable, precise, and honest about what Bruford does and does not prove. Your seven-step mechanism describes the inner movement of formation. Encounter, attention, interpretation, struggle, practice, internalization, transformed judgment. Bruford complicates it productively. For example, Consider the 19th century student who encounters great literature, but whose institution channels every capacity into a narrow vocation. The encounter happens, the attention is real, but the social conditions foreclose the broader formation your mechanism promises. That is not a refutation, it is the honest frame. Use Bruford in your critique section to show that the mechanism's conditions of possibility are not equally distributed. That move makes your paper stronger, not weaker. The takeaway, Evan, is precise. Bruford's value is not that he tells you what Bildung should be. His value is that he shows you what it became, what it cost, and where it broke. That combination, normative aspiration held alongside historical critique, is what separates a serious paper on Bildung from a celebration of it. Humboldt gives you the aspiration worth defending. Bruford gives you the evidence for defending it honestly. He wrote in 1975 as a humanist who still believed the tradition mattered. That belief, and his unflinching account of its failures, are both present in the book. That is why it belongs in your paper. Now, let's make this concrete. You have the tradition mapped. You have the tensions named. What remains is knowing exactly where each source lives in your paper. Think of it as a division of labor. Each figure has one job, one only. Bruford maps the tradition and diagnoses its tensions. He is your historical interpreter. Humboldt anchors the normative ideal, free, many-sided development as the aspiration worth defending. Gadamer drives the hermeneutic mechanism. He explains how dialogue and historically affected understanding make self-education possible. Goethe provides the literary model, formation in motion, partial, negotiated, never finished. Schiller supplies aesthetic mediation between embodied life and rational form. Thomas Mann is your crisis point. The moment cultivated inwardness loses its connection to public responsibility. Assign each figure one role. Cite accordingly. Do not let any single source perform every task. Your seven-step mechanism describes the inner movement of formation, encounter, attention, interpretation, struggle, practice, internalization, transform judgment. Bruford complicates it productively. For example, consider a 19th century student who encounters great literature, but whose institution channels every capacity into a narrow vocation. The encounter happens. The attention is real, but the social conditions foreclose the broader formation your mechanism promises. That is not a refutation. It is the honest frame. Use Bruford in your critique section to show that the mechanism's conditions of possibility are not equally distributed. That move makes your paper stronger, not weaker. Three formulations you can adapt directly. First, Bruford traces Bildung as a tradition of self-cultivation from the classical humanist ideal through 19th century pressures of specialization and bourgeois formation to its crisis in Thomas Mann. Second, Bruford's account is intellectual and literary history, published by Cambridge University Press in 1975. It supplies historical grounding and critical pressure rather than normative definition. Third, the tradition Bruford maps preserves the humanistic promise of formation while making visible the exclusions, class assumptions, and political evasions that accompany it. Each formulation is citable, precise, and honest about what Bruford does and does not prove. The key idea is this: Bruford can be used critically rather than devotionally. He is not asking you to celebrate the tradition. He is asking you to understand it fully. That means holding the humanistic promise alongside the historical record of exclusion, class privilege, and political evasion. A paper that only cites Bruford's positive account of self-cultivation misses half the book. A paper that only cites his critique misses the other half. You need both, the normative aspiration and the honest diagnosis. That combination is what separates a serious argument from a summary. Bruford's value is not that he tells you what Bildung should be. His value is that he shows you what it became, what it cost, and where it broke. Humboldt gives you the aspiration worth defending. Gadamer gives you the mechanism for explaining how formation works. Bruford gives you the evidence for defending both honestly. He wrote in 1975 as a humanist who still believed the tradition mattered. That belief, and his unflinching account of its failures, are both present in the book. That is why you own it, Evan. That is why it belongs in your paper. And that is why it makes your argument not just more historically grounded, but more intellectually honest.